Good morning, everybody. It is Friday. We've been sitting here for like an hour.
Yeah.
I mean, just waiting for that countdown clock to run low. And every time it got to 20 seconds, we thought, oh, good, the show's going to start. And it just didn't start. So we just carried on sitting. I've got two people you've never, ever seen before on the show here with me this morning. Simpiwe and Ben. Look at this. Everybody's back. Everybody's back.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, Ben. Hello, Simpiwe. Now, you may notice Ben looks like a gangster from East London.
Yeah.
And I don't mean East London and the Eastern Cape. I mean the East of London.
Mm-hmm.
After going to Scotland for a little while, come back with very different haircut.
Yeah. Different haircuts. I was going to wear a hat, but my head's a bit swollen. So I hats don't fit me. I put this on and it just hurts.
Okay, so now this is a hair transplant
yes.
thing, which you've been speaking about doing for years. And when Ben told me he's thinking about it, I'm like, do it.
Yeah.
What the fuck are you waiting for? This could give you 20 years more of looking young.
Okay.
You know, for a lot of guys, I mean, I've got another friend who he has hair and he's shaved it. I'm like, do whatever you want. Just do it, but don't fuck around because it's the agonizing over like years of trying to make a decision. You're just wasting good years. Just do it. Now
completely.
You've done it. How do you feel? Look,
this week's been rough. It's been rough. The procedure was incredible. No, I didn't. So I went to Scotland to play golf. I didn't go via Turkey.
Right.
I was going to ask.
No. LV Armani here in Sandton, like the coolest people.
Yeah.
You go there.
That's where all the cricketers go.
They do.
Right? I mean, like every cricketer goes bald at some point.
They do, Gareth.
And they don't want to be.
And like, I'm a very honest man. And I like to be honest around my friends like you. And it's a bit pathetic when you start losing your hair as you get older. Because you start doing funny comb over things. You do lose confidence.
No, my worst is those guys who have not given up yet on hair, but they've only got like 3 strands left.
They're trying to do something with it.
Love it for them.
I want to wake up in the morning. I want to just like have a shower and go get about my life.
Yeah.
Mess around with stuff. But it is quite a thing here because they take obviously from the back. Mm-hmm. So your back is your big donor area and then they put it at the front. So like...
And painful?
The first night was sore. It felt like someone had smacked me with a punga from behind.
How are you meant to sleep?
Upright.
Upright?
Guys, this week's been tough in that respect. So I've been sleeping like this or trying to sleep like this. Last night was the first night I was horizontal. It was so... Like if you want to torture somebody...
Yeah.
Obviously, sleep deprivation is a massive thing.
Yep.
Right.
So I've been a bit jittery all week. This is actually the most calm that I've felt. Oh, there's me.
All right.
That's Beauty and the Beast there. There's Luna.
Okay. Luna looks very happy. She looks like she's had a great week.
She's had a great week just having me around.
Yeah.
But the swelling was quite something.
Okay.
So it swelled about my face. I mean, I got a big head to start with.
Well.
And now it was even bigger.
Yeah. There'd be an inflammation issue, right?
Well,
that's what it is.
Look, it's quite a procedure. Basically, you take like however many thousand grafts from behind. Everyone's different, okay?
Yeah.
So I'll try to be as general as possible as this. They take it from the back.
Yeah.
Yes.
And again, like the team, I told you, they were so cool.
You're not going to suddenly go bald on the back, are you?
No, because they use such a big graft area.
How do I know these things?
Because they use such a big graft area, they then don't have any bald spots.
Oh.
So rather than going, okay, we need X amount and we take it, it's all around the back. That means like the pain.
I don't like, it's not like strip mining where they'll dig a huge hole and then that part is like barren forever, you know.
It is so well designed. It is so slick, but it's done by hand.
That's a very attractive picture.
That was
Guys, why are the pictures all...
Lopsided.
Yeah, I mean like did no one think to turn these around?
For some reason, only the pictures of Ben,
it won't let you rotate.
See, you guys, because, yeah, that's obviously...
It wants Ben looking like he's semi-retarded
in this picture. Yeah, so every day I was just getting better and better. It was awesome.
He actually had all of his cells. They grafted, they took away one chromosome from each of your cells.
And that's what I looked like. That's why I've been sitting indoors for a whole week. It's been like COVID again for me. But I don't want to mess around with this stuff, you know. It's like quite an operation.
Is it very expensive?
Again, depends on the case. But there's no such thing as like a cheap hair transplant.
Okay.
Because you get what you pay for in life.
You paid out of pocket, right?
Well, it's not medical aid.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Sims was going to go and get hers done now.
Yeah. I'm good, guys.
It's a massive investment in the future. I think it's quite normal. Like, before I went to this clinic, I thought that it was just guys who go to Turkey. And then you realize how normal it is and how busy this place is. And like if you're over 40 and you've got a good hairline and you're not Gareth Cliff, there's a good chance you've gone to this place.
See the standard Gareth.
I'm just lucky. And I got to say, I've said on the show a million times, if I had to go bald, I'd go and do this immediately. Immediately. Like the day I start losing too many hairs, I'm out of there.
So you wouldn't do the wig thing? Like no. I see like guys, the male
There's a guy who is a friend of my parents who used to wear wigs. And we always as children found it fascinating because we all knew it was a wig. Everyone could see the wigs were terrible in those days, right? And this guy was just, he was like a bit of a joke. And no one really took him seriously because he was a wig man. If you have hair, you don't realize, you don't think about it. But what you just said, Ben, is so true. It's like an investment in your future because this will give you 20 plus more years of looking young and vital. The first thing people notice, if you ask a kid to draw an old man, they draw a bald old person. Yeah. The first thing they start with is their head is hairless.
Yeah, and
they do.
And people can blow it out of their ass when they say, oh, well, you know, this is what I look like now. You want to look better.
Well,
let's be honest here. People go to the gym, they do things.
I don't buy that crap about.
I don't buy it.
Oh, no, if you have high testosterone, then that's why you don't have hair on your head, whatever. Bullshit. It's nonsense. Like, everyone would prefer to have a good head of hair. Because what do they call it in poetry and in prose? They call it your crowning glory and all of that stuff, especially for women. I mean, there's nothing sadder than a woman with thinning hair.
Oh. It is sad.
And you see them, they try to poof it out and make it exciting, or they put on a they put on a weave. They do that. They'll do anything, right?
Yes.
Because they don't. No woman want, and women don't want their hairline starting here starting here.
Yeah. Oh hell no!
So it's a complicated thing.
But like people just to be honest with themselves, and you know, everyone needs hardware updates. You take your car for servicing. You do these kind of things.
Need a new foot.
And don't come with exactly. And don't come with this thing. Oh, but the guy in White Lotus has a receding hairline. He's played one role. You're never going to see that guy again because nobody wants to see that guy on TV. Bruce Willis was handsome. Bruce Willis was in Die Hard.
Yeah.
After that, then what? Now he's dying hard, literally.
Shame.
Leave other people's preferences alone. I wasn't intentional.
Think, though, that it's a conversation that we've had on the show once or twice, but it's probably the conversation that guys are having with themselves a lot of the time. You know, it's like, for example, we talk about trying to get into shape, which is as important, or getting your teeth straightened, which is another thing everybody has to do. You have to do it. You do not want to spend your life with either shame or mild embarrassment or even worse, obsession over some feature that you can improve and change.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
The people who have a nose job, for example, they've got a big, ugly honk of a fucking nose. And then they go to the plastic surgeon, they get it sorted, and you think, shit, she looks great. You're not even sure for a little while why.
Mm.
And you're probably going to find in the next while. I mean, I don't know how long this takes for it to, you know, grow out, get to where it needs to be.
So, are you
going to go for a surfer look here? Have we got any? Because now you have options, right?
I'm just building into David Beckham cornrows. That's what I'm.
Okay, but you have options which you didn't have before.
Of course I do. I have options, and I'll just look professional in what I do. I mean, I work on camera a lot of the time.
Yeah, correct.
So why must I look like an aging man?
Right.
But look. So the first week is quite tough. You obviously go through. There's quite a maintenance process you got to go through. I've been spraying like my own spun blood onto my head for a whole week to keep things moist.
Oh, so put that in a centrifuge.
Yeah,
and
you
and
do
plasma
this plasma
rich.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. And then, yeah, you've got to keep using minoxidil, finasteride, those kind of things.
I won't even pretend to know what those are.
It's just a maintenance thing. That's what I was doing to maintain. And then, yeah, so you just maintain it and on you go.
Now, is there some kind of money back guarantee? Like if you go to them in a year's time and you're in the same situation you were a month ago?
I highly doubt it.
No, but I mean, if you were, is there some sort of thing in the contract?
I think with most of these things, there's never a guarantee because you never know people are going to respond.
Because in Turkey, apparently, what you do is you just walk up to their shop with like a crowbar. That's how you get your money back guarantee.
I've got new respect for the guys that do the Turkey thing. Like my brother did the Turkey thing.
Oh, yeah.
I went to Istanbul with him.
Uh-huh.
And to have to like do this and then like not be at home just to relax, like But then again, the places there are quite fly-by-nightish too, because it becomes known as like the place to go. And then people just pop up all over the place.
Hang on. For anybody who wants to try and figure this out, you had this done last week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Last Thursday.
Okay. So it's almost a week ago and you're here. And,
it's a full week. No, I'm
life's
fine.
Back to normal.
I'm totally fine. So I'm quite healthy, so I back myself for a good recovery. Within 3 months, the hairline will be probably more consistent. Mm-hmm. And then maybe 6-7 months, I'm guessing I could probably fashion some sort of a...
summertime.
Some sort of a normal kind of look.
Perfect timing.
Summertime.
And then in a year's time, you won't even know I've had this done. I'll just be the guy who looks good for his age.
Absolutely. Yes. Good. No, I think it's great. Excellent.
I'm just so happy to be back with you guys, though, because it's been so long.
Well, we've got a lot to get into. So
this long.
Is
a lot.
I want to start off. A friend of mine, she and her husband live in Bali.
Okay.
They're from South Africa.
Okay.
And they live in Bali, which is apparently a great place to live. It's beautiful and cheap. The people are friendly.
Mm-hmm.
All of those things that you'd go on holiday for.
Mm.
And then people, when they go on holiday, they're like, oh, well, why don't I live here? Those kind of people. They actually, he has a serious job and he travels a lot. And for her, it's a convenient place that's kind of centrally located in Southeast Asia for them to do their thing. Okay. And she can work from pretty much anywhere. So it works out for them. They got kids as well. And there's an English school nearby that they can go to.
Okay.
But she says this is a very good representation of the kind of people you will meet in Bali. Okay? Particularly white people from all over the world who go to Bali. And you may recognize some of these stereotypes from your own life.
It's like a modern eat, pray, love kind of thing.
Right.
That's gone horribly wrong.
Just watch this and you tell me if you send us a comment on YouTube. Like and subscribe, by the way, as Ruth, the chairman of the comment section, always says. Like, subscribe, blah, blah, blah. But tell us if you know someone who's like any of these characters, the white people in Bali.
So let's go and see what the people of Bali have to say today.
My lips are natural. It's just the detox. When you cut out gluten, they swell with feminine energy.
I don't coach. I just help men awaken their alpha energy through group circle jerk sessions.
I was gonna go to my dad's funeral, but I had a shamanic tantric breathwork immersion that day.
Bali is the best country I've ever moved to, and I'm launching my own crypto gym. Gains on the blockchain.
I just feel really connected to the culture. I've had 3 smoothie bowls today.
What I really love about the local culture is how good they are at building beach clubs.
I know people like that.
Belong
in Bali.
Do you want to go to Bali?
Oh, really?
Not anymore.
So I've done Thailand a few times. And I know what that sort of Southeast Asia thing is. I've been to Indonesia.
Yeah.
Bali for me is just, I don't know.
Meh.
Because those stereotypes just feel like what I see online anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, I know this is all for a joke.
Cape Town's not far behind in terms of that kind of superficial bullshit.
But this is what happens with people. This whole digital nomad life is now changing things around.
Yeah. I think that people like that ought to be prevented from meeting the rest of us. I don't want to see people like that in my life. I don't want to know about the guy with the crypto gym.
He's better. The first lady, that's all natural.
Oh, yeah,
her lips are all natural. Yeah. And when you start...
The reason that her lips have swollen, Sims, didn't you hear her, is because it's all this feminine energy.
Oh, but guys, I mean, it's a great satire piece, that. It's a great spoof. I mean, whoever did that, it's comedy
but
gold.
I know people, and I'm sure everybody in the comments section does. I'm sure you know somebody who talks like that, who says things like, well, I've just got to go to my tantric yoga and have my smoothie.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, my God.
I've just had my third smoothie bowl.
Fuck.
But there is, because
Poke bowls. Everyone, you know the kind of people who are only... Oh, no, I'm only into poke bowls now. I'm like, what did we call that before? Because people made stuff like that before. Like, I used to have salads at Kauai that before they were called poke bowls, where they had all the different stuff and you'd mix it up yourself.
Yeah, but we're all
Am I right?
We're all searching for meaning, even in our own food.
Yeah, I mean,
But the thing about Bali is that it's got so many things that people go for, right? They want the solitude, they want culture, they want something exotic that makes them seem like they broaden their horizons.
Semi-spiritual, so you've got to have the Buddhist temples and all that shit around.
But also very affordable, guys.
So there's also that. They think Eastern religions are just better because they don't understand them and they don't really ever make the effort to understand. Yeah. They just this don't hurt things, karma, karmic debt,
breathe in your anxiety.
Yeah, learn.
Become one with it myself.
Right, exactly. Mm.
But that's what I think. But I'm fascinated by this whole Bali thing because it's just packaged what so many people look for. And I think Thailand most may be a little bit too rough and raw because it's their own thing. Whereas Bali, you can kind of make it what you want out of it.
Well,
we
have lots of people here in the comments who've got plenty to say. Let's just start off with this. Gareth, we still have not talked about what a puss Dan Corder is. That performance on Piers Morgan made me want to puss club him. We haven't because I don't really have a whole lot to tell you. You go on a show. I didn't know very much about Dan beforehand. I've never watched him or listened to when he was on radio. I don't know anything about the guy. I really don't. I will say that it struck me that he was like one of those kids at high school who's in the debating club and who doesn't have a lot of friends and is trying to show you how clever he is. And I've never really got along with people like that, so I don't know that I'll ever be able to tell you more about Dan than that. But I don't think he was horrific or embarrassing, and I don't really think about him, so neither should you.
But he's a character like those white people of Bali.
Maybe.
He is.
Maybe.
Why is he wearing beanies in summer? He's a character like those people.
Yeah, I always wondered if there was something terrible he was hiding under his...
No, guys, let me know.
You wear one beanie. Why does he wear three?
Yeah, no, what... Character. So it started off with, like, load shedding and how, like, every other day we were getting notifications, stage what, stage two, stage 10, whatever. So he was like, I'm going to wear this beanie, and if we go 1 week without, like, having load shedding, then I'll, like, take it off. And then, like, we didn't go a week, and he was like, well, it's been, like, a month. I'll put another beanie on, and then, like, another beanie on. So that's how it actually got started.
Thank you,
Sigrid. It was, like, a running gag about, like, load shedding, okay. And now it's his identity.
Well, we see, we're not in the club. We don't understand.
Well, now we know. Thank you.
What can you say about a Durst wearing three corners on his head? All right, Bitcoin Butt, we got to move on. Let's just see here. Someone wants to know, Ben, did you get hair implants? Hell yeah, Harmin. Well, Harmin, we started the whole show talking about this. So go back a couple of minutes on the show and...
Yeah, it's legit.
You're only allowed to comment again when you've done that. Thank you.
So yes, as you can see, I got a hair transplant.
But his own hair.
But yeah, I mean...
There's not some Brazilian boy running around with no fucking hair on his head and Ben's taken it all. You know, like those women who buy the weaves that are from some Indian itinerant laborer.
Yeah, because it's Brazilian virgin hair. Yeah. You know,
well, that's and someone else's.
Yeah,
I've
not harvested anyone else's
you've
hair.
You've harvested it from another person.
Whoa.
Would you like my teeth? Yeah, sure. How much you got? Here we go. Have some tea.
There are young Russian girls shivering out right now.
Relax. Okay, once you've bought something, it's officially yours, okay? Even if I bought hair, it's my hair now.
What, like a slave? I mean, would that be an acceptable purchase? I mean, really? Once I've bought it, it's mine.
All I'm saying...
Carry on. This is intriguing.
All I'm saying is that once I have bought an item and it's on my head, it is now mine. It's part of my identity. It is my hair. You can't tell me where the lace is at anymore.
You know, I do love what a capitalist Simpiwe is. And I can't really argue with that.
Well, everyone is if they're honest.
Sure. And if someone has no money and they want to sell you their hair...
Let's do it.
Sure. Let's make a deal.
That's literally called human connection. Like, that's why we're here.
Right.
Come it's a beautiful on now. Thing. And but if it looks like it's mine.
Sure, but Ben didn't steal anyone's hair.
I didn't.
That's important.
I consulted extreme professionals to make it happen.
All right. I knew someone like those Bali people, says Bitcoin Butch. She was a friend of my lady and a full-on hippie squatting at our house with her 14-year-old child. I asked her to get out, sour grapes. Let me tell you something. People who come and squat at your house, and I don't know how long she spent there.
With a 14-year-old child.
With a 14-year-old child, you're a better man than I.
She was 28.
It would take me, you know, my parents said, because they might sell their house, right? Said to me, you know, if we sell our house and we haven't got a place that we want to move to yet, we'll come and stay with you. And I went,
They picked the wrong child.
Oh, fucking no, you're not.
Fuck you, Will.
Do they not get it, Kloop?
So Ben is right. They picked the wrong child. I mean, if you'd asked my brother or sister, they'd be like, yeah, all right, sure. I'm like, nah. That's not going to happen. And I love my parents. Don't get me wrong. They're just not going to stay.
I know you love your parents, but you wouldn't let them finish that sentence.
So exactly.
It's not going to work, though. Even so, I know that.
So for Bitcoin Boy to put up with some hippie squatting at her house with a 14-year-old child.
Hectic.
You're a better man than many of us. Or maybe you're not. Maybe you were rubber-armed or forced into this in some way. I think that's horrible. Bali is for Australians what Thailand is for the British. That's a good point.
Okay. So, yeah, but the thing is, the Aussies do both, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I listened to an Aussie guy. I'll get to that in a second. A question's for you, Ben. So this is very important. Yes, okay. People want to know. Gareth is probably happy that Ben has taken the focus off that bumbling art of no deals fool that has been called out by Elon. Oh, okay. So this is something we do have to talk about.
The bromance is over, hey?
Yeah. This is the tweet that came out yesterday from Elon Musk. It seems that Musk and Trump have had a tremendous fallout.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
The girls are fighting.
But what I absolutely love about this is, look, they're both going to get petty and egomaniacal about it, and it's going to be hilarious. But what I find so funny is the revelation from people who hated Trump and Elon, who are now taking sides.
Yeah, that's weird.
You know, I'm like, you hated both of them.
Yes.
Now one of them is your hero, but you can't decide. These are the kind of people you must never date, all right? If you're looking for a partner in your life and you want to start a relationship and someone is as fickle as this, stay away from them. It's a big red flag. It's like those girls who smile angrily. Have you ever seen someone smile angrily? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When someone does that, let me tell you, and it's not just girls who do that. Guys do it too, because guys are becoming bigger bitches than women in the world right now. And it's because they've got the worst masculine and the worst feminine traits, and they smush them together to try and build a character.
Built on insecurity,
It's not going to work. But you know when someone smiles angrily, Simpiwe? You know,
I always hate the whole thing, like, kill them with kindness. Like, I think it's a stupid notion that.
Terrible.
It's so petty. Terrible. It's so passive-aggressive.
Why?
So, because it's like, if you don't like someone, don't be kind to them. Why are you being kind to them? Kill them with kindness is you basically saying, oh, I'm the high road person here. You're not. I'm superior. Bullshit.
Yes, because sometimes people scoop very low, and I don't need to go that low. I don't need to do some of the things. I understand that concept in terms
of.
You
should be kind to them, though.
No, but in terms of, like, there's certain things, like, it's like an argument, right? Some people don't have an issue with swearing during an argument. Somebody will say, I do, and so I won't do that. And for them, it's the, I'm killing you with kindness, because I'm not going to stoop that low to swear at you when I'm angry. I think that's the same notion.
You know what? I don't fight with anybody. I thought about this the other day. I you guys are talking about something that very seldom do I encounter. I was in a meeting yesterday, and I heard everybody like talking to each other and making sense. I suddenly thought, this is great. This is a good meeting to be in. You know when people like find reasons to fight with each other, and they don't need to fight with each other?
It's draining.
That is. So whether it's kill them with kindness or be direct and honest, and how about not fighting? How about that?
Exactly.
I mean, I would love if Trump and Elon could just man up, put their differences aside, and continue to behave in front of the kids.
Sorry, I've got to ask, so what is the issue?
We don't know, but they're both going hell for leather against each other now. Twitter's become just a shit show of them abusing each other. I mean, so Elon has said, among other things, this will interest everybody, that Trump is on the Epstein list, and that's why we haven't seen the Epstein files, which is quite a big claim.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we knew that Trump knew Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah.
He famously, I think, tweeted out, or not tweeted out, it was before Twitter. He said, "Oh, I know Jeffrey Epstein. He knows a lot of beautiful women. Sometimes a little on the young side." Yeah, that's what he said a couple of years ago.
Facts.
So that's what he said. And we know that there are lots of powerful people on that list, which is probably why we haven't seen it. And if Trump is one of them and he's been the one who said, "Oh, no, put that away, hide it," I think that's deplorable, right? That's unacceptable. Yeah, just to save his own ass. And anyone who's a Trump supporter who thinks, "Oh, no, it's okay for him to hide that," that's wrong. We as the people who live and roam this earth deserve to know who the worst creeps on the planet are.
Mm-hmm.
Who are taking advantage of young girls on islands. I would like to know who those names are so that I can also make a character judgment going forward about what sort of people, if I have a daughter, she should avoid. It's important because, you know, these guys are rich, successful, intelligent, whatever. They might have plenty of good characteristics. The fact is, they were on Epstein's list. And that, to me, means even if it's Donald Trump.
But Epstein's list, the P. Diddy list, it's going to be much of a muchness.
Yeah.
These people are all on there.
They're all
We
horrible.
All know those people because they're powered people.
And they're famous people. Yeah. They're people who both Diddy and Epstein would have wanted to extort money or influence from, you know, so we've got to know. I think if anything comes out of this stuff, it should be, and I hope it will be, that we can take away the mystery once and for all of famous people and powerful people and realize they're just people, and a lot of them are creeps and freaks.
Well, yeah, I think for present company, that's always been, we got there a while ago.
Yeah.
But for, They're on these lists, guys. They are.
So the Elon Trump thing continues to deteriorate. Trump was saying things like, "Oh, I don't know why Biden didn't cancel all of Elon's contracts." So he's trying to cancel those. It seems like either something really bad happened. They had some argument about something, like a married couple, and it just spun out of control from there, or that there's still the possibility that they're having us all on. I mean, these guys are both turbo trolls, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They know how to work the internet. Trump is probably the greatest marketing mind of all time.
Yeah.
And Elon is, whether you like the guy or not, he's a very, very intelligent chap who has unreal energy when it comes to getting shit done and changing the world and thinking big and all the stuff that we've been raised to believe is a part of the package deal that is success. But now,
but the thing is as well is that they're both completely obsessed with what they do and who they are.
Yeah, I it could end very badly, but I don't think it's, you know, for all those people who are celebrating a little too much, again, the ones who smile angrily, for those people, don't get too excited because it's not going to mean the complete destruction of the Trump empire and his hold on power in the United States, which seems unassailable at the moment, I've got to tell you, mostly because the Democrats are just so shit at everything and they cannot get their act together. But also, it's not the end of Elon. He's going to carry on doing what he was going to do anyway, which is run his 200,000 companies or whatever they are. And let's watch the show. It's going to be fun.
Yeah,
I'm not taking sides. I'm not on the Elon side. I'm not on the Donald side. Let's see what happens. It's going to be fun. You can't say this isn't a good movie.
Highly entertaining.
Constantly.
What do you think?
I think the honeymoon stage is over, you know? They were like, "Oh my gosh, you're so powerful. No, you're powerful." And then it's like, "Oh, let's hang out together. I'll bring my kids to your house." And then it's like, "Oh, you're so cool." And then one day you just see them for who they are and you're like, "You're such a bitch." And now the girls are fighting. So I'm here for it. I'm like, let's go.
Someone made a comment earlier that the Real Housewives of Mar-a-Lago, which I think is hilarious.
Let's go. That's all I'm saying. This is what's happened. Like, and they'll be fine. Like, just how a lot of the times these things, they're going to eventually meet again after 6 months and they'll be like, "Oh, we're fine. We signed a new deal.
It was new awful. Deal. Yeah, yeah. Got a great new deal." That's probably true. All right, Ben. Max Sony says, "Ben is not telling us the truth. He lost the Arsenal bet. That is why. He had to get his hair shaved.
You still think I bet on Arsenal? That's the part of the story I find funny.
All right. Let's see what else we got here. Hello, beautiful people, said Elizabeth Barker. Hello. Hi. Hello. Oh, okay. Welcome. It's always nice to see new names in there too. Snipe says, I know, and you've said it some. I know if you've said something in public and shared it in private, I'd call you and we'd resolve it. Not a public spat the whole world can see. Talking about Elon and Donald, obviously.
But the relationship has been public. That's the thing. That's what I'm saying. Like, we saw them all buddy-buddy and all lovey-lovey. Of course, when things go left, it's going to be on the streets of Twitter. Let's go. I'm here for it. Like, let's see how it goes.
Hameen says it's not a big deal. She says, guys fight. They will get the bromance going in no time. Men don't hold grudges like women.
Yeah, also true.
Well, who knows? I mean, Donald Trump does hold a grudge.
Well, the thing is, but we don't understand the egos at play here. Because like when you say, Gareth, you don't fight with people. Because you haven't got an ego, you're pushing on someone the whole time. If you got to be in the room the whole time and remind people who you are.
I think those guys both have tremendous egos.
Of course they do. They have to be where they are and do what they do, they have to.
You'd think with all the drugs, because we were joking about Elon and the drugs. And when was it, Monday? You'd think with Elon and the drugs, he would have done enough mushroom trips or ayahuasca or whatever else to have played his ego down a little.
See, I've got a theory around that.
Yeah?
Hear me out. It goes back to the whole Bali thing, right?
Yeah.
When you were trying to quench your thirst for the spirituality and the balance and all this kind of shit, you don't. You just carry it on because now you want to find something else and more nuanced. These people who go on all these mushroom trips and they keep doing them,
yeah,
you didn't really quench the thirst, did you? It's not just what you do.
Okay.
Hameen says, is open.
It's time to buy a Tesla. Well, we'll see. I think Donald Trump might firebomb a Tesla for all we know. I reckon Trump was sick and tired of being Elon's kid's babysitter. His rent-a-grandpa days are done. Mapello reckons it's all fake. That could be interesting as a thought as well. All right, so we got to get into a few other things. Speaking of Australians who came up in the conversation earlier when we were talking about Bali, these two Australians have a pretty interesting idea about what rich people should do to enjoy their lives. Because, you know, I don't know if you feel the same way, but some of the rich people I know are really miserable and they have horrible lives. They have money, but they never enjoy it.
They're trapped. They're trapped within this whole thing.
And they don't know how to get out of that because they're so in the making of money mode that the enjoyment doesn't dawn on them as an idea. So these Australian guys, I don't know what their show is called, but I got to get more of this. They have an idea which I think could be brilliant. And just before we play the clip for you, you need to know what a bogan is. Mm-hmm. If you're not an Australian, you probably wouldn't know that term. I've got friends, one of my friends sent it to me and said, well, I didn't know what a bogan was until here. So a bogan is like a working class Australian. Right? So it's like a blue collar, really referee in the edges corn of Australian. Yeah, you know, the kind of Australian we would have associated with Australia before, you know, Melbourne started having Michelin star restaurants and that kind of thing. When they basically just drank beer and farted and called all their girls Sheila and had like nude pictures in their wallets and things like that. That's Australia.
They have lived in homes that moved.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And really, the descendants of convicts and that kind of thing. So the stereotypical Australian, these days, the better Australians, the more sophisticated ones, will call them bogans.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So here we are. Take a look.
People in the lounge that are busy on their MacBook Pros, riding the NASDAQ, too nervous to eat, can't enjoy what they've earned. They're too busy.
But if you assigned a bogan to every single one of them, they could enjoy the fruits of
You have a bogan to enjoy the experiences they can't enjoy because they're too busy making the money that allows them to have the experiences? Like you give a bogan like a voucher to a five-star hotel, they're like, fucking hell.
Yeah.
All right. And they're just in a state of ecstasy. They're like, they're bringing out to you.
Yeah.
A warm towel.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. Just have a bogan on a leash.
I have a bogan on a leash, bring them into the conference and have them hoover up the hors d'oeuvres or whatever.
Yeah.
And just go, fuck, these scallops are all right.
And then the rich person's like, I'm busy riding the NASDAQ, but at least someone's enjoying this.
Yeah, because I can't. But I want to see my gratitude diary squirm around on the floor and lather himself up in the artisanal soap. And
so you're saying the bogan is the gratitude diary. He's grateful. He's enjoying it. He's appreciating it.
You're on a conference call with the UN or whatever, and then fucking Gary's in the jacuzzi just going, fuck, this is all right. Fuck yeah. Just slurping scallops and shit, using all the amenities.
Fucking hell, this is fucking all right.
Because that's that jet ski pleasure. You know, like a lotto winner will be like, fuck yeah, just got a fucking lizard from Taiwan, fucking spits venom. You know what I mean? They'll buy something stupid that costs like $2 million.
Fucking Gary. Fucking Gary's E. This is all right.
That is so cool.
Okay, so.
The gratitude journal.
Tracy says a bogan is a tap at mullet sporting, drinks without a stubby holder, wife beat a singlet, wearing blokes and owns a ute. Yep. Pretty much the guys in the castle. Okay.
That ticks all things. And it's still one of the greatest movies of all time is The Castle.
All right. So I think the idea, though, is pretty damn smart.
Can I be the bogan?
Yeah. You could be someone's bogan.
Yeah. I just want AJ there.
I mean, you
always have to say, fuck, that's all right.
Yeah, yeah. You have to be a bit rougher, though, Sims.
You can't be a bogan.
You've got
sorry.
Some class and... Sorry.
Sorry.
You need to be, like, really at the bottom rung of society. Oh, kind no, of if you put that person and they were saying put them on a leash and take them around with
they
you.
They would already have a leash to give you to put them on.
And then you let them loose at the hors d'oeuvres table or in a first class in a plane.
Screaming imagine, through the artisanal soaps.
Because we all think that that just because someone's rich, maybe they didn't even earn that money themselves, but just because they're rich that they automatically enjoy the things that we would be, oh, wow, this is going to be the most exciting day ever. I'm going to fly first class to Singapore. Meanwhile, that rich person is like, oh, God, I got to go to Singapore. Right?
Yeah.
It's amazing how
we
assume other people feel the way we feel about stuff when they actually don't care about that stuff at all.
Yeah. They're probably like tired of traveling. They're tired of hotel living, you know.
Yeah.
They just want to be home. They don't even want to order the scallops anymore. They just like want, you know, just a young quarter. But they can't do that.
But the thing about when you become super, super rich, not that I am, I must speak from experience here, but once you get to a certain level, you can't sort of come back. So it must be so mind-blowingly fun to be a bogan because the bar is so low. Everything's fucking amazing. Whereas the first class guy, nothing excites him anymore because you can't rediscover... Like, I don't know, fried chicken. You can't rediscover the first person who bought you a cold towel on a hot day in a hotel. You can't rediscover your first spa treatment.
No,
you
that's
can't.
True.
So for a bogan, it's like the world must be
amazing.
Well, it's like drug addicts. They'll say to you, they're always chasing that first time. Because the first time they did whatever that drug was, it was the best time. And ever since then, it's got like a little bit more boring along the way. I think the same thing happens with money. The same thing happens with almost everything in your life.
But I think there's a great movie in there. It's like the bogan that changed, like Pretty Woman, okay? It's a great movie of all time. It's Pretty aged Woman. Brilliantly.
Yeah. Prostitute so Richard, makes good.
Richard Gere is the rich man here, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. But now the prostitute, Julia Roberts, she's like, fuck, she's a bit of a bogan actually. She goes, fuck, this is all right when she gets into the hotel. And she's in the bubble bath and she's getting room service. And she is.
Yeah.
She's the bogan
she goes
in that
shopping.
Story.
Yeah.
And oh, because, this is all right. I'd like those.
It's like, fuck, this is all
give
right.
Give me 10 of those.
She walks down Rodeo Drive and she goes, fuck, this is all right. And the thing is, so Richard Gere had his bogan on a leash with her, and she made him rediscover his life.
Right.
And then he started, like, reframing his life.
Yes.
Fuck, what a cool story.
It is a good story. It's the redemption arc, right?
I think there's redo Pretty Woman in Bali as bogan.
So what do you guys make of this? Vyasin is asking. He says, let's talk about the Japanese annual birth rate that has dropped by 700,000 this year. Has been dropping 16 years in a row. I think the Japanese are sick of the Japanese. This is a big story that we should be paying a lot of attention to. But
especially
for
a country like Japan.
Yeah, people just turn a blind eye to what's going on there. And I think that probably this is a, you know, the Japanese are a fantastic and very complex and ancient culture. I don't know enough And I'd love to visit Japan. I know it's on your agenda too, Ben.
Yeah, totally.
I think Japan is just, to me, one of the most interesting places in the world. But they've got a serious problem because people are just not fucking and they're just not making new Japanese. We're running out of Japanese.
Yeah.
Okay. And they've got a very old population, so it's not sustainable. The pyramid's upside down. You know, again, Africa, we may get a lot of shit from the rest of the world, but the one thing we're getting right here is the birth rate. By and large, at the rate that we're reproducing now, and remember, even the Indians and the Chinese have slowed right down to the point where they're
it's
not,
hard to keep those numbers up.
It is hard. It's impossible to keep those numbers up. But here in Africa, we're going to be one of the few places in the world that is at replacement value or above in terms of producing new people.
This is something that Elon's really big on.
Yeah. So Japan have got this serious issue that people are not interested in having children. They're not interested taking a step back in getting married, taking a step back. They're not even interested in having sex with each other, which is terrible. I mean, we often talk about how life would probably be simpler if you weren't such an animal who needed to have sex the whole time. But my God, if it was an asexual world like so many Japanese people seem to be living, I don't know that that's so much fun either.
Look, it's quite simple, Gareth. I think if all the Japanese guys had a bogan friend and they went out, it'd be like, fuck, she's all right. And then they would get... Yeah. No, but don't you also think that maybe it's a sign of human sophistication being a really detrimental thing sometimes? Japanese life and how they package what they do, everything's like so advanced, so technologically ahead of many other people, that the onerous thing of becoming a family is now outside of their sort of realm.
Well, I think you've also got to build in a little bit of risk, which it would appear the Japanese people are less likely to take on post-World War II for whatever reasons. I mean, it would be interesting to read modern Japanese authors. I don't read a lot of fiction, but I'm sure there are non-fiction versions of the theory that have to do with people are less likely post the defeat in World War II to go out and take massive risks and do. I mean, there are obviously businesses that have grown up since the 1940s and 50s in Japan that have been hugely successful. But the average Japanese person does not welcome random chance into their life to the degree that people in the rest of the world.
That was a villain in Austin Powers.
Yeah, maybe. Random chance. That's the guy's name. And, you know, here in Africa, we're like, fuck it. Let's take a chance.
Literally,
I'll go home with you. Yeah, let's see what happens. AIDS? Don't worry about that. Let's just go home. Let's go and have some sex. You know, which is maybe the opposite attitude. And I don't know. This is just a theory. But I do believe that it's worth looking into this because... James says no more Japanese to clean the soccer stadiums. No more wax on, wax off. Doesn't help if the birth rate in Africa is high, but the unemployment rate's even higher. Yeah, listen, there's going to be a lot
of that. Yeah, people have time.
There's going to be a lot of suffering on both sides, but choose your suffering, right? Mm. Either you want to be part of a population that's growing or a population that's in decline. Vietnam has just announced a lift on the two-child ban too. This side of Asia is very worried about the replacement rate. Congo Chris says, good morning. I saw your distress message and came as soon as I wanted to. Thank you, Congo Chris. Excellent. Graham Rogers says, two child. After that, you'd get taxed to shit. See, the problem with this is that do you really want government telling you when you shouldn't have children?
That's generally when it goes wrong.
Yeah, but didn't that all start because they were overpopulated? And that's how they needed to kind of be like, okay, cool, there's too many people, so we now need to make sure that you only have two kids. And then they saw that they actually, like, did this a bit too strict, and now that's the result.
That was China, and yes, you're right. So China did do that. They implemented a one child at some point. I think they changed it later on. But in the beginning... And this is the law of unintended consequences, right? So what happened was that you had an enormous rise in abortions of girl children.
Mm-hmm.
Because every Chinese family wanted to continue their male line
yep.
children. So they aborted any girls or swapped them out, put them up for adoption or whatever else. And I mean, who would have thought that?
Would be
well,
the
this is what happens when you do what they call social engineering and is then, that people find a way around it.
So then you had all these like messages, like there was just guys around, okay?
Then there
so
was then, no one for the guys to have sex with.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which then created some very antisocial kind of behaviors. And I remember, I think there was that woman from North Korea who managed to get out, who went to the Joe Rogan podcast. And she was saying how like a lot of North Koreans are just used as prostitutes because there's not enough women in China.
Yeah.
And they literally just farm them out like that.
So these are the things that happen when a government starts to mess with individuals, their love choices, their choice about having children or not having children. You just create a huge rod for your own back as a country. Unwanted births to recycling vats. Sure, that's nice, slippery pickle. Good morning to you. Judas says, infertility also plays a huge role in this matter. Men and women are now faced with the same issues. Yeah, I've heard about this too. Again, I'm not an expert on this at all, so I don't profess to know more than what I'm about to say. But apparently, fertility rates and impotence and the lack of desire from men and women to have sex, all of that kind of thing is on the rise. So Japan is a very, very worrying example of what could happen to a society when...
But they're quite a saucy bunch of people because those guys are always in those karaoke bars, right?
Yeah. I just don't know if it's to procreate or just to have orgasms.
But that's just the thing. It's just for sex, not for procreation.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Hardy-da is the only bird that is scared of heights. That's why they scream when they take off. Oh, Durban Dope, you know, what would we do without your excellent jokes first thing in the morning? I feel that we've just hit rock bottom and kept on digging. McGill says Goodyear Tire Company in Uitenhage is closing down after 42 years. 970 jobs are gone. You were right on Wednesday about the unemployment in PE. Yeah, it's just a disaster, PE. And you know what? Again, under this government, we are not going to see economic growth. There is no magic wand they can wave. We will not be able to grow as a country as long as we keep this government in place. Sorry.
Do we know why the tire company's closing down?
Well, I'm sure that they just can't continue to operate anymore. There's probably just no way for it to remain feasible for them to continue to employ all of those people. And, you know, labor law is complicated in this country. Again, I'm not going to speculate too much, but I think that the margins are probably quite thin. Maybe making tires is just not as lucrative as it used to be. And they're looking at it and going, better to shut down than to keep going.
Because that is the only reason there's people in that area.
Yeah, really. I mean, in Uitenhage, don't they just live in tires?
Well, not anymore.
People's houses are like made of tires. I don't know. Uitenhage is a dreadful place. All right, so it's an awful place. So let's look at something else quickly. There is an office swear jar.
Yes.
Now, I know Simpiwe knows a lot more about this than I do, but I saw this notice on the wall.
Yes.
In the office the other day. Every time someone swears, it's 5 rand or a rand.
No, it's 5 rand.
5 rand.
Okay. 5 rand.
This was apparently suggested by Tian, who doesn't swear.
Yes.
Funny, so, yes, yeah. Rejecting his ways on us.
Whatever. They want to use the money for a good cause, but this is like saying, oh, well, you know, the Catholic Church does a lot of really good work by feeding homeless people in Bangladesh. Therefore, we'll turn a blind eye to the child abuse. That's not on. So I'm not going to accept the recommendation of so many in the office who've said, oh, but we're going to use this money to buy birthday cakes for people who are having their birthdays, or, you know, fill the sweetie jar, which I've been filling the last 3 weeks.
Can I also just say something about that? Because people in this office, they tend to finish those sweets in like 2 minutes.
I know.
Ridiculous.
I bought, I think, wine gums this week or last week. And what was it the week before? Sour worms?
Then. Within a matter of minutes.
So now I'm going to get granola bars. We'll see if you fuckers eat those.
Sunflower seeds.
Yeah. So the swear jar is a thing.
Yes.
Who's in the lead at the moment?
Jameson. It is James.
Okay, but is money going in? This is my first question.
This was started on the 28th of May.
Yeah, I wrote that. Get fucked, you cunts, Gareth, because I'm not going to join in this nonsense. I swear a lot. I swear on this show. I swear a lot in real life. I think swearing is terrific.
James, why are you so fucking foul-mouthed?
Yeah, James, what's up with you?
That was all in one day.
Was that all in one sentence?
115 Rand.
Yes.
That you
owe. It's actually gotten more.
Is there money in the jar? Because this all sounds fantastic. James, in for 115.
You know, the thing is with us being new age, we don't actually have a physical jar. It's just kind of like send the money to a person and then...
And who's the accountant here?
I am, because I was like, we're going to do this. And so, yeah, so far...
Caroline's definitely sworn more than twice. She's got a foul mouth, that one.
Shame, even Olaf is on there, and he's not really on our staff. He's kind of...
Yeah, but hey, like if you're in the office...
Olaf is the literal matrix of this place.
Yeah, he is. Michaela, Marv. Marv is doing very badly too.
Hey. He's horrible at this. So far, we've raised about 235.
Flex is only in for a meager 20 Rand at this point. Well done, Flex. I mean, that's probably because Flex only says about 3 words in a day.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So all right. I noticed that are you minding your language especially?
Yes.
I mean, you're not a big foul mouth.
So are you saying you don't want people to have cake? You got to fucking swear this if you wear. You got to be part of the game.
The game is to not say. Wait. I know that I do swear now and again, but I also like challenges like this where I'm like, let's see if I can actually go and not swear for like 3 whole weeks.
Is that because you're killing people with kindness?
Yes.
Yeah, see. Knew it. Knew it'd come back and I'll expose you.
Either way, we've raised like 235 Rand.
You guys have raised shit. You've done nothing. I don't believe this for a second. Because the next birthday's going to come round. And
there
is
a birthday on the 1st of July.
It'll be sing, 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 no cake again. And then I'll be the guy going, okay, cool, no cake again.
Hey, Sims is in charge, okay?
Azalea says Sims is running a scam.
Sims is in charge. There will be change. Just wait and see.
Yeah, you're policing people's language. George Orwell predicted this, says Bitcoin Boat. Mind Your Language was a good series. Is Olaf his real name? Yes. And he's German.
Yeah.
I greet him every time I see him with Guten Morgen, Olaf. He goes, Guten Morgen, Gareth. So has Sims got a beanie on because Ben stole her hair? That's fine. You are the accountant, Sims. Yes. How convenient, says Mapelo. Yeah,
of course.
Yeah, I did poverty elevation for almost 2 decades. I focused on only refugees from other African countries. My father and his lifetime commitment to the Bible is my main inspiration. Well, thank you, Herman Peter Cook, for that. We didn't know that we were going to get a biography of you this morning, but... I don't think we care, so put me down for one more in the swear jar. All right. There's a lot going on. We have to talk about this too. We knew it would happen eventually. TikTok has blocked searches for extreme thinness because young girls who are extremely impressionable and are easily influenced, they are the most vulnerable group when it comes to peer pressure and social media pressure and all of that stuff. They are now doing something called Skinny Talk. So TikTok's blocked search results for it, for that word Skinny Talk, because it has links to unhealthy weight loss, promotes extreme thinness and disordered eating, users are now redirected to mental health resources, blah, 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 blah. So this is not anything that you haven't heard before. This was happening before TikTok came along.
Yeah.
Of course, we know TikTok is a dreadful thing. We know that it is a Chinese spy app, and really there's nothing else to it. But girls want to, and they will find this info. If not from TikTok, they'll find it from each other. There's always someone in their friend group who can get them this information. There are other social media sites and apps. So it's going to happen. And I kind of wonder if we're dealing with the symptoms rather than the cure.
I agree.
The disease, rather.
Sorry, can I just, what happened to body positivity? Was that also?
Oh, no.
That's...
No, at least we're back to...
Has that gone out the window completely now?
It's no,
out.
Man. But no.
Wasn't a trend.
No, man. I'm saying you can't promote being anorexic because then you're not healthy, right? In the same breath, we also have to then say you can't promote obesity because you're still unhealthy. Like,
yes.
Body positivity, positivity is supposed to be like you embracing like the healthy version of you and starting from a point of, okay, you accept who you are now and you're going to make decisions to better enrich your life. That's what it was supposed to stand for. And then we saw it go bonkers.
Agreed. I'm 100% with Simpy.
It sucks how people just pervert stuff.
Yeah, but I'm not surprised. Anyway, if you've got a daughter or you've got a sister or you've got a friend who's on TikTok all the time and she's starting to get thinner and thinner, you need to intervene at some point. Or you're going to lose her. I mean, this is a serious, serious problem. I remember when we were growing up, anorexia was much more of a scary thing.
It really was, yeah.
Than obesity.
Yeah.
Mm. Right? I remember, you know, oh, she's
tough.
Those people's daughter, she hasn't eaten for the last week and she throws up all her food and big, big problem. Colleen down at the corner, she just keeps on shoving pies in her face. We got a serious problem. It's like, fat Colleen, stop eating. You know, but we didn't take it seriously.
Yeah.
But the girl who wasn't eating, she was something to be worried about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Again, it's like all these extremes. The Japanese not having sex and people who have too much sex. The fat people, the thin people. How can we not find balance in the force? Can we?
There is so little of that, yeah. The middle ground.
A little bit of balance in the force. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. Doesn't have to be Elon and Trump. Doesn't have to be the ANC and the DA. I mean, somewhere in between there's got to be something good.
I really think it goes back to Bogans again.
Yeah.
Look at the traits of the Bogans. I think that's the middle ground as we get now in life.
Maybe. get someone really, really poor and miserable in your life and let them enjoy things that you're not enjoying about your life, that you started taking for granted.
Someone who just enjoys the small things. Let's just say an experienced novice.
Well, this is why people have children sometimes. Yes. Or what they discover is one of the benefits to having children is that you see things through new eyes. And I'm sure you've started to experience this too, Cynthia. Yeah, as your daughter starts to... Like the first time she sees a thing that you see every day.
Yeah.
And you see her just like the quizzical kind of curious look.
Yes, like her eyes are in awe of lights. And you just like, it's just the lights. And she's like, wow, this thing is amazing. Yeah. Like, what is this thing? You're like, dude, it's a light. It's a light.
But it's the...
And then you're just like, oh. Like, and then you're like, oh, this is so cute. And then like certain things you take for granted, like... Just speaking, and then like you hear her, blah, blah, blah. You're like, yes, say the word, say it. You get excited.
Is she getting close to that now?
Yes, but they say saying mama is hard for kids as the syllable, so kids tend to naturally say dada first.
Okay.
Because it's easier for them to say and pronounce. So, and then you learn like everything, like all over again. You learn like, oh my gosh, oh, crawling is important. It builds up this. So you're like, oh, you have to stop crawling now. And yeah, so I'm relearning like what it means to be just a human.
But this is exciting. A lot of parents say that the best thing is knowing that kid is going to experience for the first time the stuff that you've forgotten you even could do. And every time I go to a place or laugh at a joke or smile about something that's really beautiful, like a flower or a building or a picture or whatever, I think, wow, you know, I want to kind of introduce this to someone else. Yeah. If you think about, you know, relationships too, people do this. They like, oh, I had the most amazing meal here. I want to bring this person here to have it with me. That's exciting. Same goes for kids. So yes, the Bogan theory. Call it that. Fresh eyes, showing someone who loves the small things, new experiences.
Fresh eyes, no expectations. If you can live like a Bogan... Embrace a bit of Bogan this weekend, I think is where we're going with this.
All right. By the way, any exciting plans for the weekend? Anybody doing anything?
Sleeping.
Yeah, shame, Ben. Sleeping horizontally.
Oh, guys, sleep deprivation has been so rough. I'd be getting like 2-3 hours of sleep. And I come from like a high base, you know. I'm obviously very healthy, got a lot of sleep, feeling really good.
You need to get some sleep.
And I can only exercise in a week's time. So it's another week of no exercise.
Okay, well, I'm thrilled that I'm not feeling sick anymore. I was sniffing and coughing and carrying on. It was a misery to be around.
Yeah, half the Monday, office was manned down this week.
But that's all Senna's fault, right?
Yeah.
He started it.
Yes, Dr. Yeah. Senna, yeah. Who took LHX for a blocked nose.
Yeah, that's right. People who self-medicate. Yeah.
Okay, doesn't she produce the medical show?
Yes, she does.
She produces the medical show. She's surrounded by doctors all
surrounded
the time.
Surrounded by doctors.
Right. Okay. Listen, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will have a whole lot more and some very, very funny stuff that I found on the internets that I want to share with you. So don't go anywhere.